Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother James. Can you hear me okay? Sir. I just wanted to first I wanted to thank Brother James and the Church at Union for the invitation tonight. It's good to be here with all of you, and I see there's several faces on here that I've never seen before, and hopefully someday I'll be able to meet in person, and there's actually several faces that I get to see very often. So it's good to be it's good to be here, and I do appreciate that kind of home of prayer by my dear brother Tracy. I've never met Brother Tracy, but I know we're brothers just by you can just tell one by the love that he has. And with the prayers that we heard tonight at the from the Georgia meeting, and then also from the ones from tonight here, it sounds like just an absolute miracle, just the providence of God that so many people were impacted by that tornado last week and the deadly storms they had down in Mississippi. And we can only give praise to God for those things and those mercies, because we know that He is merciful. And why He has chosen to be merciful to us is because it pleased Him. It's certainly not because of anything that we have ever done. At least I know it's nothing I've ever done. For the ones that know me well, especially for the ones that knew me when I was younger, they would know that there's nothing that I've ever done that I deserve any mercy. And why the Lord has put it on my heart to preach and to proclaim His name, it's something that only can be of God, because it's just the blessings and the mercy that He bestows upon us that we can appreciate and we can only understand when He has shown you that He has done something for you as great as He has. My mind tonight, and just to be honest with everybody, I told my wife Kimberly, Sister Kimberly, earlier today, I said I probably changed my mind about 5 or 10 times about what I thought I was going to speak on today. And so I do hope you pray for me, continue to pray for me, and that this will be the Lord's will. But this is the subject, I think when it does come out here in just a few minutes, it's been on my mind here for a few days. So that's what I'm hoping this is the Lord's will. But in the 18th Psalm, I just want to read a few verses. There's 4 verses I want to read. And it's starting at the 28th verse. It says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God?" I want to just look at these two, just kind of like two and two, these first 2 verses, the 20th and 29th. And when I look at these, I think about this for, David, the author here. We know that he's just the pen, and we know that the Lord is the author of this book that I have in front of me and that you have access to just as well as I do. But it says, "For thou wilt light my candle." I believe each and every single one of his children that he has put his spirit into, he has lit a candle in. I don't think that David here is talking about that he's gonna be born of the Spirit, because we know that David was born of the Spirit. David, I believe, was born of the Spirit at a young age. I think it says over in the I think it's in the 22nd chapter. Let me see. It says in the 9th verse of the 22nd chapter, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb, thou didst make me to hope when I was upon my mother's breast." I believe David was born again as a young boy. I don't know if it was when he was a baby that age, or but when you think about how young he was when he went to fight Goliath and the faith that he had, and when he went to those men and he said, is there not a cause? We know that there's a cause, and I believe that that's why each and every single one of God's servants, the ones that go forth proclaiming his name, proclaiming that gospel, we know that there's a cause. Now, I know that each day we don't, as it reads in that 29th verse, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall." We know it's by his strength that we do those things. It's not because we get out of the morning and we just pull up our bootstraps and we're gonna will ourselves to do these things. It's by the strength of Almighty God that we're able to do the things we are able to do. I've heard preachers say before that it is a miracle that a man can get up and proclaim the word of God, and I believe that to be true. Because it's, as we just heard Brother Ronnie say earlier tonight, it's not in man's nature to want to do these things. It's not in man's nature to want to proclaim those things. And what a blessing that we can just sit at the master's table, just as Mephibosheth was able to do to be able just to get some crimp. But he was at the master's say he was at the king's table forever. And what a blessing to know that his children will be at his table forever. When you think about for thou wilt light my candle, I cannot help but think about when we can go to the Gospel of Matthew, and we can turn over there real quick in that just in that fifth chapter just for a minute. In Matthew chapter 5, where it says, where he talk, it's in the 13th verse, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall the salt be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing, but it cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men hide a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. We need to be giving glory to the Lord Almighty for what He has done for us. And we need to be able to show that light that He has given us. It's not something that we should hide. I was talking to a brother here a week or so ago, and he's like, "Brother Lane," he goes, "I know that that's one of the problems that we have is we aren't putting ourselves up on that hill." And he wasn't talking about putting us up there boastfully. It's like, we're a lot of times we're hidden. We aren't showing the light that God has given us. And that's something that we do need to do. We do need to give that light. God has given us that that motivation. For thee by have I run for by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. We know that our strength comes from God Almighty, and when we use that strength, it can be used for good. It can be used for to be able to show that light to others. How many of those people are sitting in those dark places right now? As it says, "For the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Before we're able to see that gospel light, we know that there's a darkness that we're sitting in. We don't even know, we don't even appear, we don't even understand the darkness that we're sitting in until we see that light. It talks about that light in the book of Timothy, in 2 Timothy, where it says, where Paul's talking to Timothy, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Isn't that a blessed thing to be able to think about that the light, that gospel that we've been able to see is the salvation, to be able to know about what God has done for us, to know that saving grace that he has given to us. There is a saving in just in that, just to be able to know that we don't have to live in that fear of what do we have to do to get right with the Lord. Well, there's nothing that you and I can do to get right with the Lord. Everything that He has done has been right. There is that. That's probably the thing that I want to get to the most tonight is when you think about what the Lord has done everything right. There's never been anything that the Lord has missed. There hasn't been any mistake He's made. When we go on and we read. You go back here in that 30th verse of Psalm 18, it says, "And for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God?" I want to turn just for a minute to Deuteronomy 32. I want to read one verse that really kind of says what I'm talking about with, talking about the rock and everything, what God is to us. And it's in that 32nd verse in the sorry in the 32nd chapter, verse 4. It says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Has there anybody ever told you that the Lord's done something wrong? I don't believe that for one second. The Lord has always done everything right. And for us to be able to understand, just even for a short time, just even if we've known that from an early age in our life, or if we've learned that in a later time in our life, just to be able to know that thing, what the Lord has done for us, is such a blessing. That He is right. Everything that the Lord has done is right. I tried to actually speak on this a little bit this last Sunday, and one of the things that I brought up to the congregation was when you think about go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 1. When it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," could you imagine if He would have skipped everything and brought man to the forefront and made man first? What would man have had to do if it would have been just man and the earth hadn't been made? God does everything right. He does it in an order, and God has never made a mistake. When you think about how he made man, everything that man had when he was made, he had everything that he needed. He had a place to sleep, he had food, he had everything he needed. And it's because God did things the right way. And it's a blessing to know that he has done those things right and all the examples he's given us. Go to the second chapter of Genesis when it talks about when God made Eve for Adam. And it said there in that second chapter, just want to read just so I get it right. It says in the 23rd verse, actually, I'll start in the 22nd verse, it says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Brothers and sisters, the Lord has done everything right from the beginning. As you can really see right there, he instituted the first marriage. And we know that marriage between a man and a woman is right. No matter what the world wants to say today, no matter what the world says that, no, you're old-fashioned, Brother Lane, you don't know what you're talking about. This is a new time. This is 2026. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you, this book is just as relevant today. This book is just as relevant, and it always will be, because everything that is written in it is right, and because God is the one, he is the author of it, because everything he wrote in here is right. That's why we can say today that it is right for a man to marry a woman. And for all these other things and all this other nonsense that the world wants you to tell you is okay, it is not okay. This is what's okay, is because God is the one that said it. We can go to the go back to the book of Matthew into the beginning of chapter 5. And I just want to point out something or talk about something real quick here, where it says that this is in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain." This is in verse 1. "And when he set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying," isn't it amazing to think that God Almighty sent his son not just to save the world, but to teach? He sent to teach, and he taught his disciples what was right. And he taught them, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know why theirs was the kingdom of heaven? It's because they were poor in spirit. They were in poor in spirit because they knew that they were sinners. If you don't know you're a sinner, if you've never felt that you are a bankrupt sinner, if you've never felt that you were poor in spirit, then you aren't able to feel that kingdom of God. But when you are able to see the kingdom of God, is because you know that you're poor in spirit. And when you can say that you're poor in spirit, it is because you are blessed of him. That shows you evidence that you are one of his when you have been poor in spirit. It says, "Blessed are they that mourn, and they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I love the shalls of the scriptures, because when you think about what he says there, when it says shall, it means it's going to be done. For someone that is thirsting and hungering, let's think about the in the book of John in chapter 4 and chapter 6, where in the chapter 4 where it talks about the woman at the well, and where Jesus is talking with her, and he's talking about if you give me a drink of water, and he goes on. I'm actually going to turn to it so I get the quote right, but what I'm trying to get at is it, she was he was talking about spiritual things, and she was thinking that he was talking about natural things. And it says in the 13th verse, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," and he's referring to the water at the well where he was sitting, "water shall thirst again. But whoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That water is something that we thirst for. That's something that's spiritual. When you thirst for those things, when you thirst for to understand more about God, when you thirst to understand and want to learn more about God, it's because God has placed something inside of you that the world doesn't know anything about. And just as when you go over to the sixth chapter of John, in the sixth chapter of John, where it talks about where Jesus says that he's the bread of life, it says in the 32nd chapter of verse of chap the 32nd verse of chapter 6, excuse me. Says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, and I have no wise cast out. Brothers and sisters, if you have hungered and if you have thirsted for God's word, if you have wanted to learn more about him, if you have wanted to draw nigh unto him, it is because that is evidence that you are one of his. We can go over to the book of Galatians in chapter 5, and we can read about the different all the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, and faith being one of those. It's the when you think about a tree, and you walk up and you can see a tree, and if you can tell if it's an apple tree, it's because that is because of the fruit that you see. And when you can see someone that has that fruit, that love, that faith, that long suffering, whatever one of those fruit may be, it's because he is one of his. He has done something special for them in their lives. It's because he is that rock, that one that he stands upon. And we know it's because God has done all things right. That's what's been, so I guess what's been so much on my mind this week about all the things that God does do that's right. When you can go outside, you can look at the creation, you can listen to the birds sing, sing praises to their maker each morning when you walk outside. We can walk outside and we know the sun's there. Well, if we have clouds in the sky, we may not see the sun, but we know it's there. It's going to be there every day. And it's because the Lord has done everything. He's done everything right. And, the one thing that I guess I just truly can't get over and can't maybe fully understand is why did he show this to me? And why did he show this to anybody? It's because it pleased him to do so. And it's a blessing that we were able to understand those things and be able to see those things, what God has done for us. And it's a blessing that we can never thank him for enough. We can never give praise to him enough too for what he's done for us. But we need to be able to show that light to, like what I read earlier in Matthew 5, we need to be able to show that light to others so they can see that there is something different to us. And when there's opportunities, we need to make sure we take those opportunities to share that truth and that love with what God has done for us and with us. We know we all have seen that hand of providence in our lives. Think about all those people that just experienced what happened down south there in Mississippi. We know that the hand of God was upon all those people, just as Brother Mickey was talking about. I think he was said there's like 22 children or something like that that's been affected, or maybe even more. But there's several of those families. Each and every single one of those families, they may not know God. That maybe they don't aren't participating in a church. Maybe they don't even know anything about the Lord. But God has blessed them. God has blessed their lives with opportunities for them to be able to tell, what God has done for them. Think about the Wild Gadarene. You can go over to the, I think it's that's talked about, I think, in two or three of the Gospels. I know for sure it's in the book of Matthew and I believe Mark. Think about that man that they said was he's a wild man running through the tombs and cutting himself and was crazy, and he came to the Lord. And it said that I think that was when God or Jesus took out Legion, and I think they went into a herd of swine, and those swine went down into the hill and choked into the water. But when the people came out to see him, the wild Gadarene, he wasn't so wild anymore. Something had changed in him, and the Lord had healed him and showed him what he had done for him and the blessings and the mercy that he had upon him. And if you remember what he said, he wanted to follow Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him to do? Jesus said, "No, you're not going to follow me. I want you to go and you go home. I want you to go home and I want you to tell your family, I want you to tell your loved ones what the Lord has done for you." And brothers and sisters, I think that's something that each and every single one of us can do, is we can tell others what the Lord has done for us. He's done so much for us. We could spend a lot of time in our life. I think it says, doesn't it say in the book of John, it talks about if all the things that Jesus Christ would have done, if they all would have been written in a book, the world would not have been able to hold the books of what he had done. Isn't that amazing to think that there's so much that wasn't wrote down that's in the scriptures that what we've been able to read and we've been able to have the have just be able to have the scriptures in front of us when you think about what we have access to be able to read it in our own language. We don't have to worry about having to go and learn a different language. We have it right in front of us in the English to be able to read. And there's a blessing to be able to do that. And God has done all things good for us. He's done all things right. And I want to turn one more place into in the book of Matthew back to chapter 7. And it's I said at the beginning of chapter, when I had read just a few verses out of chapter 5, where it said that Jesus taught. And was there ever a better teacher? I don't think there ever was. I don't think there was ever a better teacher, and there was certainly wasn't a better preacher. When you think about how he was able to tell things and teach things, and what a blessing it would have been to be able to actually be able to follow him and be able to hear firsthand the things that he had done for you, and the things that he foresaw and the things that he knew. And it says, just like every good teacher sums it up. In the 24th verse of the 7th chapter, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Just as I read in that 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, talking about the Lord being our rock, Jesus Christ is that rock. When I think it was in the, it's here in the 13th or 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter speaks up and says that he says that you're the Christ. And Jesus tells Peter, it's like, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for men have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And on this rock, I will build my church. That rock, he wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about himself on the rock. On Jesus Christ is what the church we built, and it said, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. And this the reason why when the rains descended and the floods came is because it was because our lives were built on a rock. If we can follow these teachings, we can go back and read everything through, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, all the teachings that Christ, the things that he taught the disciples to go out and to preach and to teach the people when he sent them out. But when we can base our lives around those things and we can build on that rock, there's a blessing, because our lives, we know we're going to have storms. There's going to be storms, they're going to come, and they're going to beat the water and the waves and the winds are going to beat on our houses, they're going to beat on our lives. And when we can look at the things that the Lord has taught us and touched our hearts with, we know that our houses can stand. But what happens when it says we're not built on the rock, and it says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Brothers and sisters, I just want to make sure that if I can leave you with one thing, the Lord Almighty, he did everything right. Everything that he taught was right. We know that we get caught up in the world. We know that it's, we know we have to live in the world because we're part of the world. But aren't you glad that we have another place that we're just passing through this world? Aren't you thankful for that? We're passing through this world, and someday we will not have to experience a lot of the pain and the sorrow and the suffering that is going on right now. Think of all the people that there was prayers requests for. Brother Chris Taylor and the things that he's enduring right now with his kidney and with the things that he's been when going through here over just for the last year. So when we need to be in prayer for him, we need to be in prayer for one another. But when we can follow the teachings of what God gave us, because that God never misled us, God has never led us astray. He never led us down the wrong path. If we go back just a few verses earlier, when Jesus was talking about that straight and narrow gate. We knew it wouldn't be easy. He never said it was going to be easy to follow him. He said there would be things that we would have to give up. I believe there's another place where it talks where someone comes and wants to follow him, and it says the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. And what Jesus is saying is like, you're going to have to give up something if you're going to follow me. And we know that there are things that we should give up to follow the Lord in this life, because following the Lord is right. Everything he's ever done for us is right. And if we could just follow just part of what he told us to do, I think our lives would be better for it because of the things that he did tell us was right. But when we can build our house, when we can build our lives upon that rock that is Christ, we know that we know when those temptations come, we know when those storms come. We know that it's going to be a lot easier to withstand those problems and those wiles of the devil than what it'll be when we are building ourselves on the sand. Because when we're building ourselves on the sand, we're going after the things of the world. We're going after the things that are not right. But when we can build on the rock, we know that we're going off the things that are right. And because we know that the Lord is right. The Lord's been right in everything he's ever done. And that's why he's God. If God, I guess this is one other question you can ask yourself. If you ever have thought that God did something wrong, then how could we worship him? How could we say that he's God if he ever did anything wrong? But we know that he has never done anything wrong. The only thing he has ever done is loved his children. And someday he is going to come back and get them. Every single one of them. Every single one that Jesus Christ died for, he is going to come back and get, because he paid a very heavy price for that. With his blood, he came. And what a blessing it is to know that the sacrifice that he made on Calvary was right in front of his Father. If it wasn't right, would he be sitting at the right hand of his Father right now? Would he have been risen from the tomb? If his Father would have if his Father would have not been pleased with that, would he have came out of the tomb? I don't think he would have. I think he'd probably still be there if he wouldn't have been accepted, but he was accepted. He always pleased his Father. His Father was always pleased with his Son, because his Son did everything right. And that is so beautiful to know that we can look to a Savior that has never made a mistake, never did anything wrong. And what an example we have in Christ our Lord. And it's my prayer that there's been something that I've said that'd be a blessing to you tonight. And if there was, then you'll know it's because it came from the one that was right, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer that you all have a blessed rest of your week.